Turn again, please, to Philippians chapter 1. For a few moments at the end of our service, I want to draw your attention to verse 12 of Philippians chapter 1. And I want us to consider Paul's view of his life. Paul's view of his life. Look what we read in verse 12. "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." What a tremendous text of scripture. "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." Paul's view of his life. Let's have a wee word of prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to consider God's word today. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy precious word. And we pray now as we turn to the sacred page that you would speak to all of our hearts, that you would have a message in season for each and every one of us. Lord, we have only one life, and it'll soon be past, and only what's done for thee will last. And O God, I pray that the truth of the gospel would penetrate into our hearts today, that we might give our lives afresh to thee. O God, I pray for your own people, those of us who are saved, that we might rededicate our lives to thee today. When we think, Lord, this Remembrance Sunday, of what others have laid down for us, laid down their very lives, O God, we pray that you would help us in these days to lay down our lives for thee in the cause of Christ. Help us, Lord, to live for thee. We thank thee and we do praise thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour, who gave the ultimate sacrifice when he laid down his own life that he might redeem sinners. And O God, we thank thee today and we praise thee that because of his death and resurrection, thank God, we shall live eternally. O God, I pray for those therefore in the meeting who are not saved, that you would speak to their hearts, reveal unto them their great need of God's salvation and God's redemption. Lord, now come and fill us with thy gracious Holy Spirit. Give us a word in season, for it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. The Apostle Paul, throughout his life, was always the optimist. Paul's cup was never half empty. It was always half full. Of course, the reason why Paul viewed life this way was because he believed that his life was in the hands of God and that nothing happened to him by chance. Paul was a man who very definitely believed in the providence of God. Even when the Apostle Paul was in a prison cell, he was optimistic, trusting in God for the way ahead and knowing and believing that God was ordering his steps. This view that Paul had of his life can be seen in many places throughout Paul's epistles, but nowhere more so than in Philippians 1 and verse 12, our text for today. Here Paul says, look at it again, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." Paul here, of course, is addressing the saints of God. He describes the saints here as his brethren, those within the spiritual family. And Paul wants his fellow believers to understand something. Something very significant. Something very important. That the things which had happened to him in life, God had used to the glory of his name and for the extension of his kingdom. What a tremendous statement we have here. What a tremendous text of scripture. Child of God, how do we view our lives? How do we live our lives? Do we live our lives knowing and believing that God orders every step that we take? Do we believe in the providence of God in every matter of our life's journey? These are very searching and challenging questions for us all. However, as we come to consider Paul's view of his life today, I want you to keep these questions in mind, and I pray that God will speak to all of our hearts. I pray that the message will encourage you, but I also pray that the message today will challenge each and every one of us. Now, as we look at this text of Scripture and consider this subject, I want you to notice a number of things very, very simply. First of all, I want you to notice here that Paul speaks about a life. And the life that he's speaking about here in the text is his own life. Look what it says. But I would ye should understand, brethren, underline these words, that the things which happened unto me. There we have the Apostle Paul, and he's speaking about his life, about the things which had happened unto him. You know, when you consider the life of the Apostle Paul, you think of all the things that happened to him throughout his life. You think of his salvation on the Damascus Road, and what a glorious day that was when God reached down and saved him. You think of his service and labors in the gospel. And you think of his many trials and sufferings for the cause of Christ. Indeed, when you study the earthly life of the Apostle Paul, very quickly you learn that it was a life with many perils and dangers. A life during which Paul was persecuted and suffered much pain. The truth is that no man apart from the Lord Jesus Christ himself suffered more in his service for his master than the Apostle Paul did. Now, I'm sure that you've all studied the life of Paul many times, and if you haven't, then you ought to take the time to read the book of Acts, because the book of Acts records the life of the Apostle Paul and all the trials that he went through for the cause of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's one portion of Scripture I want you to turn to. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 11. It's a very interesting portion of Scripture. Because here again in this portion of Scripture, Paul is speaking about his life and the things he had to suffer during his life. Paul here is not complaining, nor is he boasting. And I want to emphasize that. He's just stating facts. And he is stating these facts for a purpose. And we'll be noticing the purpose just in a moment. But look at what Paul says from the end of verse 23 of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Underline these words in your Bible. I'm sure, child of God, that many of you have read these words before. But I want you to think of them again. And if you've never read these words before, if you're not familiar with them, then I want you to pay attention. Because Paul here again comes to speak about a life. And it's his life that he comes to speak about. And as Paul speaks about his life, this is what he says at the end of verse 23. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with cords, once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, and fastings often, and cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. What a catalogue of pain and suffering and trials and persecutions the Apostle Paul went through for the cause of Christ. This was the life that Paul was speaking about in Philippians 1 verse 12 when he addressed his brethren in the church at Philippi. When he spoke about the things that had happened unto him throughout his life. Indeed, as Paul spoke these words concerning his life, he was at that moment sitting, as we have already said, he was sitting in a prison cell. Now, it's important that you get the scene here. It's important that you see Paul's situation. Right at the very moment he penned this letter to the church at Philippi. And I pray that as you think of Paul's life, that the Lord will come and speak to all of our hearts and all of our souls. Child of God, when you consider what Paul went through during his life, surely we all have to confess that our lives are very comfortable compared to his life. Therefore, we should never complain about our lives. Now, we all do. And the truth is, we all have. But we should never complain about our lives. When we consider and think about the life that the Apostle Paul had to live upon this scene of time, when we think about his suffering, when we think about his pain, when we think of what he went through for the cause of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and remember this, all these trials and persecutions that Paul suffered, he went through them because he was a Christian, because he was a faithful Christian, because he served the Lord and wanted to do the will of God in all things, because he wanted to go in the direction that God wanted him to go in. And if there was a man who went in the direction that God directed him in, it was the Apostle Paul. The Lord led him and the Lord guided him. And he went in that direction, never questioning the will of God at any time, because he loved the Lord and because he served the Lord. Therefore, we should never complain about our lives. Do you ever complain about your life? You know, the truth is this, child of God, and I speak to my own heart as well, it's a sin to complain. It's a sin to complain. Numbers chapter 11, just turn over to it, just before we move on, and take a look at what is said in verse 1. And here we have these words penned concerning the children of Israel. And it says this, and when the people complained, when the people complained, and of course you know that the children of Israel complained and grumbled throughout their wilderness journeys. We must never forget that the Lord was leading them and guiding them in those wilderness journeys. It was the Lord that was directed them. It was the Lord that was leading them. And yet they complained. But look what it says here. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it. And his anger was kindled. The Lord was displeased with their complaining. The Lord was displeased with their grumbling. And the Lord heard it, the Bible says here. Oh, I pray that we not be complainers, but that we will thank the Lord for all his mercies to us day by day, and that we will always recognize that our lives are in the hands of the Lord. And while we may not understand all the way that the Lord leads us at times, that we will accept his will. You see, that's the second thing I want you to notice here. Turn back to Philippians 1 verse 12 again. I want you to notice that Paul speaks here not only about a life, but he speaks here about a purpose. A purpose. What was the purpose of Paul's life? What was the purpose of all this suffering? These trials that Paul went through, these persecutions that Paul endured, what was the reason for them? Because you know, child of God, there was a reason. And there was a purpose. As Paul looked back over his life, could he see any logical conclusion to this pathway that he had been asked to take? Was all this suffering and pain really worthwhile and necessary? What was it all for? Well, look at what the apostle says in our text in verse 12. Look at it. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me, listen to it, underline them, have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Here is the purpose. Here was the reason for the furtherance of the gospel, for the advancement of Christ's kingdom, for the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The life that Paul lived and the things that Paul suffered had one purpose: to extend the kingdom of God. And that is how Paul viewed all his trials and sufferings. Oh, what a wonderful testimony. What a man of faith the Apostle Paul was. Therefore, everything that happened to Paul during his life, God used for the furtherance of the gospel. My, that's some statement. Child of God, how do you and I view the trials of life? How do we make sense of all of life's valleys? In days of sickness, in days of trial, in days of bereavement, how do we come to terms with it all? Surely we need to be like Paul and see the hand of God in it and recognize that in some way, although we may not understand it fully now, it is for the furtherance of the gospel. Paul viewed his life and everything that had happened to him and everything that would happen to him, he viewed it considering that it was for the furtherance of the gospel, that God was using every trial for the furtherance of the gospel. Child of God, if we're living for God and serving the Lord, then whatever happens to us in life has to be for the furtherance of the gospel. It has to be in the will of God. And although we may not understand it at the time, it has to be for the glory of God. What Paul is saying here in Philippians 1 verse 12, he expressed in Romans chapter 8 as well. Turn over just for a moment to Romans chapter 8. It's a familiar portion of scripture. But underline it again in your Bible. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 to 31, we read these words. Paul says, "For we know," verse 28, "that all things work together for good to them that love God." Now, it doesn't say some things. And it doesn't say the majority of things. It doesn't say 99.5% of things. It says all things. All things in our lives. Whatever's happening, whatever happens to us, whatever has happened to us, whatever is going to happen to us, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Child of God, the Lord is working out our lives for the furtherance of the gospel. And although we may not be able to see just now, we will understand someday in the sweet by and by. Why was Joseph sold into Egypt and put into a prison cell? For the furtherance of the gospel. Why did Job suffer the loss of so much? His family, his farm, his wealth, his health. For the furtherance of the gospel. Why did Jeremiah, why was he put in chains and cast into a deep pit? For the furtherance of the gospel. Why was Peter and John brought before the council and beaten? For the furtherance of the gospel. Why were the martyrs burnt at the stake for the furtherance of the gospel? Child of God, what is the purpose of our lives if it is not for the furtherance of the gospel? Oh, I pray that this simple but wonderful truth will penetrate into our hearts today, that nothing happens to us by chance. I don't believe in luck. I believe in the providence of God. And although at times I may not fully understand why the Lord leads me in a certain direction, I must keep trusting Him, because my life is in His hands. Do you believe that, child of God? Here's a message here for you and I who are saved and love the Lord. And we say that we desire the will of God, and we pray for the will of God day by day. Well, if we are praying for the will of God and desire the will of God, then our lives are in His hands. You see, that's what Paul is saying here. That all the things that had happened to him, all the things, even the times of suffering and pain and trial, it was all for the furtherance of the gospel. You see, there's something else I want you to notice in verse 12. Or that's flowing from verse 12. And it's this. Not only does Paul speak here about a life, it was his life. Not only does he speak here about a purpose, the purpose of his life, for the furtherance of the gospel, that the name of Christ be glorified. But Paul speaks here about a blessing. A blessing. Was there ever a life blessed like the life of the Apostle Paul? Was there ever a man used like this man? Apart from Christ himself, Paul's life was used like none other to bring glory to the cause of the gospel and to the cause of Christ. Paul's life blessed so many. He was indeed an encouragement to many who lived in his day and beyond it. His testimony and how he lived not only encouraged others, but also instructed and strengthened others. Now you and I can see that today when we read the Word of God, how Paul's life was blessed. How Paul's life was used. And Paul's life is still being blessed and still being used, because every time we lift the inspired Word of God and read about this man's life, doesn't it encourage us? Doesn't it strengthen us? What if Paul had said, Lord, I don't want to go through all this pain and all this suffering. I don't want this pathway that you have chosen for me. I'll just go my own way and I'll just do my own thing. Well, if Paul had have chosen that direction, we would know nothing about him today. But because he chose to walk in the path that Christ had laid out for him, his life was blessed, and his life blessed others. Child of God, if you want your life to be blessed, if you want it to influence others, then you've got to walk the path that the Lord wants you to walk. And so have I. Look at Philippians 1 verse 12 again, and we'll read down to verse 14 this time, and I want you to see the three verses linked together. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Why, do you see what Paul is saying there? In other words, what Paul was suffering was encouraging others to go forward and live for Christ. The more Paul was persecuted, the more others were strengthened to preach and spread the message of the gospel. When they saw Paul's faith in the midst of persecution, they were made strong. Paul's life was a blessing to others. Paul's life was an encouragement to others. And that's what Paul is saying here. Child of God, persecution does not hinder the gospel. It only refocuses God's people to the real purpose of their lives again. Persecution of the church will only motivate the church of Christ afresh to their real reason for living. Isaac Watts, and I'm sure you've all heard of Isaac Watts, he was an English Christian hymn writer and theologian. He is credited with some 750 hymns. Many of his hymns remain in use today and have been translated into numerous languages. However, it is said of Isaac Watts that he barely ever lived a day without physical pain. He suffered all his life from very bad health. One report said concerning times of his illness that for nights, listen to this, for nights he was utterly unable to sleep. And the most powerful drugs of that day had no more good effect upon him than water. And yet it was during some of those trials that Isaac Watts wrote some of his most famous hymns. Isaac Watts looked upon his sickness as a blessing. My friend, I have to confess that I would not look upon sickness as a blessing, at least up until this point in my life. I don't know anything about sickness. And that's the truth. That's the truth. But I don't know what tomorrow holds. And I don't know what next month holds or next year holds in the will of the Lord. But Isaac Watts looked upon his sickness as a blessing. And this is what he said when thinking about his life of sickness. God is the one in charge. God is the one in charge. God was indeed the one in charge because through his sufferings, Isaac Watts brought blessing to many through his hymn writing. Oh, child of God, the next time you're passing through a trial, remember this. And I speak this to my own heart and to my own soul. Remember this. God is the one in charge. Child of God, in all our lives, we need to recognize that God is the one in charge. And that's what the Apostle Paul here is saying here in this passage of Scripture that we have been meditating upon. Philippians 1, verse 12, and down to verse 14 as well. Because he is emphasizing here that his life, the life of suffering, the life of persecution, the life of trial, that life has been for the furtherance of the gospel. And because he was willing to live that life and to serve God to the best of his ability, God blessed his life. God used his life. Child of God, the Lord wants to bless our lives and he wants to use our lives. Oh, I wonder, is our lives effective for Christ? The hymn writer penned it well when he wrote those words, "I do not know what lies ahead, the way I cannot see, yet one stands near to be my guide, his show the way to me. I do not know how many days of life are mine to spend, but one who knows and cares for me will keep me to the end. I do not know the course ahead, what joys and griefs are there, but one is near who fully knows. I'll trust his loving care. I know who holds the future, and he'll guide me with his hand. With God, things don't just happen. Everything by him is planned. So as I face tomorrow with its problems large and small, I'll trust the God of miracles. Give to him my all." We sang that hymn, "My times are in thy hand." Listen to verse 2 again. "My times are in thy hand, whatever they may be, pleasing or painful, dark or bright, as best may seem to thee." And while at times we may not fully understand the way that the Lord takes us and leads us and guides us, let us always remember
that there's a reason for it, that there's a purpose in it. And that purpose is for the furtherance of the gospel. And the Lord will use our lives. Whatever circumstances we may find ourselves in, the Lord will use our lives in His great plan and for His great purpose. And to bless others and to encourage others. Child of God, what you're going through at the moment, there's no knowing who you're going to help further on down the line. There's no knowing who you're going to encourage by what you're experiencing now in later years. But the Lord knows. Oh, I just pray that our lives will tell for Christ. Is this your view of your life? But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Let's pray.